We're in part 28 of our Jeremiah Bible study, Journey Through Jeremiah Bible Study. And tonight, Lord willing, we're going to look at all of chapter 26, Jeremiah chapter 26. It's only 24 verses. Several of these go together as well. I expect it won't be a very long lesson tonight. Jeremiah chapter 26, and let's read verses 1 and 2 and then get into the lesson. Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word." Father, help me tonight, Lord, as we continue in this study. Lord, that you'll just reveal the scripture to us. Lord, just may the Holy Spirit illuminate it for us, God, and may it do a mighty work in our hearts and our minds. May we leave from here, Lord, realizing what a mighty God that we serve. And thank you so much, God, for this opportunity tonight. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, I said when we began this study that it would take 2 years. It is going faster than what I thought it would. This is the halfway point. Chapter 26 is halfway to chapter 52. And so I was looking through today through the Bible and looking at the chapters, the rest of the chapters, and if I've calculated it correctly, it should take us 29 more weeks, and so we should be done in February of 2018, I believe. And so not too bad. And so it has taken us only 7 months to get to this point, and that's pretty good. So as we look in this first verse in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, now, this whole chapter, we've really already talked about it, because in chapter 7 is where it began, and chapter 26 provided the details of what happened when God gave Jeremiah the prophecy to give to the people of Judah. And so we've already talked about this, but tonight I want to look at it again. Perhaps you need to be caught up on it again, but if you remember there in chapter 7, the Lord had instructed Jeremiah to go stand in the temple and to prophesy, and he gave him the words to say, and it greatly upset the people. They didn't like what he had to say, and so this is kind of a repeat, but it goes into more detail than chapter 7 did. And so this event, it says, began during the beginning of the reign of King Jehoiakim. Now, if you remember the kings, remember the line of them, starting with Josiah, Josiah being the good king, who served for 31 years before he was killed. And then his son, Jehoahaz, he reigned for 3 months. The people had put him up as king, and he reigned for 3 months before he was forced off the throne by the Pharaoh of Egypt. And then Jehoiakim, the one we're talking about tonight, was put in place by the Pharaoh. And so he served 11 years. Now, these are both sons of Josiah. And, of course, after Jehoiakim was Jehoiachin, which was Jehoiakim's son, which would be the grandson of Josiah. He was only there 3 months, for he was taken off into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And then, of course, we know Zedekiah was the last king of Judah. And he reigned for 11 years before he was taken and blinded and drug off into captivity as well. And so that's the scene that we're at. We're at the very beginning of Jehoiakim's reign. And so it's a very turbulent time in the land of Judah. People hate Jeremiah with a passion. He does not have any friends. His family has forsaken him. His friends have turned their back on him. They're trying to destroy his reputation. But yet he keeps declaring the word of the Lord. God told him to go in this temple and stand and preach. He said there that these are the words of the Lord saying, go stand in the court of the Lord's house. So he's in the temple where all the people will be going through. Now remember, these people are already in all this idolatry and false worship of Baal and such. And so even though they are doing that, they're still going into the house of God in the temple and performing all their religious activities and all their routines, just like nothing's ever happened, because that's what they did. They're Jews. They're Hebrews. And so they followed all the rules and things of religion, and they're still keeping it up. And so this is where all the people's going to be. And so Jeremiah's standing there in the temple, and he starts declaring, this is what God says. And they don't like what he's having to say. And so he's standing there speaking, and notice the Lord told him, he warned Jeremiah not to diminish a word of the prophecy. In other words, don't soften up this message. You know, a lot of people today, they want to soften up the message, try to let it fall gently on your ears so that you don't get riled up. God said, listen, don't you diminish my word. Don't you diminish my message here. You let them have it. I've got you words to say. You tell them what, and whatever falls, let it fall. And so Jeremiah is instructed not to try to please their hearing, but let them have it exactly the way God's told them to. And that's the way men need to preach today. There's too much hem-hawing around these days. There's too much sugarcoating things today. Too many people today are just trying to please people. I don't know if they're afraid they're going to lose their position or whatever it is. Hey, listen, I love pastoring this church, but the day that I'm not allowed to get up and say what God said is the day that I'll just walk out. All right? Because I believe in preaching what God says. And if it offends people, it offends people, period. And so Jeremiah, he's going to preach the message, and he knows. He's already been warned by God. They're not going to like it. They're going to turn their faces toward you, hard faces toward you, stony faces. And he says, don't worry. I'm going to watch over you, but they're not going to like the message. And so look at verse 3. He says in verse 3, if so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And so the reason God does not want Jeremiah to diminish the message here is so that it will penetrate the hearts of those wicked people, and that they'll wake up from their slumber, and they'll realize that they're in sin and they need to repent. And so God's given them another opportunity here. Already he's gave them so many opportunities. And right here, if you don't diminish this message, you tell them what I said right there in the temple, they're going to hear it. And if they don't abide by it, that's going to be their problem, because they have got a chance. And so he wants them to have the full impact and the gravity of their sins. They need to realize that. People today don't realize the gravity of their sins. They don't realize how bad sin is, because the world today has painted a pretty picture on sin. I mean, today, you know what they say, go painting the town red? They're painting sin blue today and making it look like it's nothing. In fact, we're passing laws to make sin legal. And so sin today, people don't understand and realize how bad it is and what God thinks about it. If you saw sin the way God saw sin, you would be so sick over it. But people today aren't. They feel like they've got the right to do whatever they want to. Verse 4 says, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if you will not hearken to me, to walk in my law, which I've set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. And so here he's warning Jeremiah to preach to them, and if they don't walk in his law, if they don't heed the warning this time, he is going to curse them, and he's going to make their temple the way he did Shiloh. Now, they all knew what Shiloh meant. Shiloh was the original place that God had blessed, that he had instructed them to set up the tabernacle there. And they had the Ark of the Covenant, and that was considered the holy place of God in Shiloh, in the land of Ephraim. And so that's where people would go to worship like they do in Jerusalem at this point. And because of the sin of the people there, and God's anger got kindled, and he removed the temple, the tabernacle out of Shiloh, and he took it to Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And so they knew what that was, because it was a curse upon those people. And he turned those people in Ephraim away, and he was angered by it. And so he even allowed the Philistines to come in and take the ark from them. And we all remember that story. But he moved his tabernacle to Mount Zion in Jerusalem. You can read it in Psalm 78, 58. The psalmist writes about it. He said, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. So they were doing the same thing that they were doing here in Judah. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hands. Now, it keeps saying in that same chapter, Psalm 78, 67, moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved, and he built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth, which he had established forever. And so God is telling Jeremiah here, and he's warning him. And by the way, did you notice there? He said that they hadn't hearkened to the words of my servants, the prophets whom I had sent you. It wasn't just Jeremiah that God was sending to tell people things. There's other men that he sent. The Bible doesn't go into a lot of details about these men. There's other prophets during Jeremiah's time. And we're going to read about one before this chapter is over. But he's saying they didn't listen to them. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. And if they continue this, I'm going to remove this place, this temple, this holy place that you're so proud of. And the Jews are proud of it. That's it for the Jew. I mean, the temple. Everything was the temple. And God says, listen, I'll take his place out of there like Shiloh. And Shiloh meant the place of rest. And so he's warning them here. Verse 7 of our text says, so the priest and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priest and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying that this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Make sure you realize that, what it says right there in that verse 7. It said, the priest and the prophets and all the people. They all were there listening to this, all these folks. But I want you to pay particular attention to those two first ones there, the priest and the prophets. They're there, and look what they decided. Jeremiah's going to have to die. He's going to have to die because of this. And so it says, we'll see that in the next verses. But it says that, and all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. And so this is another case of wanting to shoot the messenger. All Jeremiah is doing is being the mouthpiece of God. That's what a prophet is. He's the one that speaks for God. And that's all he's done. But here they think if they could just shut this man up, all their worries would be over with. We'll quit listening to him. We'll just listen to these other guys because they're not telling us the same thing. And so they decided they're going to gang up on him, and they're going to find a way to get rid of him. And they're asking him, why did you do this thing? Why'd you point this out? Why are you saying all this stuff? And that's what people do today. You start talking against sin. Why are you talking about my sin? Why are you talking about the things I like? You're always picking on the stuff that I like to do. Why do you do that? I'm not doing that. God's doing that. He says it's a sin. And so they're doing the same thing to Jeremiah. Why in the world are you telling us all these things? It's going to happen like this. And it's like they instead of heeding the warning and repenting and turning to God, what they're doing is kind of like they did with Stephen, when Stephen started preaching there in front of all those people. And what they do, the Bible says they stopped their ears up and they ran upon him and gnashed on him with their teeth. And so they didn't want to listen to him. And it's like that today. People would rather not listen to something that's warning them than to listen to it and take heed and repent. And people love their sin more than they want to repent. It's kind of like if you were driving down a road and you had on the radio, and the guy on the radio was giving an announcement on the road you're on, the bridge is out. And there's no warnings, the bridge is out. You need to take, if you're on that road, stop, turn around, go somewhere else, don't go to that bridge. And it'd be like you hearing that message as you're driving down the road and saying, I don't want to hear that. Turn it over to something else and keep on driving and plunge off the bridge. That's what they're doing. Listen to the message given to them and not changing anything. Let's hear a different message. I want to hear a different message. Get rid of this guy. Shut him up. And so instead of listening to the preacher and repenting, they want to shut him up by killing him. And they question him as why he would say such awful things to us. Why in the world did you do this? Verse 10. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priest and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man's worthy to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. So everybody wasn't present at the time. The princes here and more of the people were not present when Jeremiah was doing this, but they heard the word from it. So people was already going and running, saying, you never believe what's happened down the temple. Jeremiah standing up there, he's preaching against the city, says God's going to remove us like he did Shiloh and all these things. And it got to their ears, and so they got to come down to the temple and find out what's going on. These princes are the rulers of the land. They're the governors and the overseers and all these things. And so they're coming down there to find out what in the world's going on down here. And so when they show up, immediately look who started talking to them. The priest and the prophets. The priest and the prophets are the first one to say, he needs to die. He needs to die. First thing out of their mouth. This man's worthy to die. And then they start bringing up all these. He's prophesied against the city, as you've heard with your ears. And so These prophets and priests are false ones. We've already read that. God said that they were not listening to him. He wasn't talking to them. They were bringing this message on their own. They deceived this out of their own hearts. And so these are false priests and false prophets, because if they were real prophets and priests, they would have been hearing the same word Jeremiah's hearing, and they would know that it's the truth. And so God said he wasn't speaking to these guys, and so the word that they're declaring was not from him. It's lies they'd made up. Nevertheless, they'll declare that Jeremiah is worthy to die. Because what's happening here is the priests and the prophets, everything that Jeremiah's doing is going totally against what they're doing and what they're saying. They're giving one message. Jeremiah's giving a different message. He's making them look really bad right now. And so they're over here saying peace and safety, and he's over here saying death and destruction. Repent, repent. And they're over here saying, don't worry about it. Repent, don't worry about it. And so if he keeps running his mouth there in front of them and all the people, it makes them look really bad. So we've got to shut this guy up, get him out of here. And no doubt they're going to charge him with blasphemy. That's what they're going to do. Charge him with blasphemy and being a false prophet of all things. Can you imagine that? False prophets accusing a real prophet of being a false prophet. Now, when's that ever happened? Well, it happened all through the Bible. It happened with Jesus. It happened all through the Bible. Anyway, nevertheless, they declare he needs to die. He's worthy to die. And what were his crimes? Well, he didn't have any crimes. We all know that. But he's speaking out against the temple of God. Now, like I said, to the Jew, the temple was the end all be all. It was their holy place. And they loved that thing more than anything. And so when he starts speaking out against it, then he's blaspheming the things of God. And so we saw that happen. They did the same thing with Jesus. When Jesus said that this place would come down, you know, and all this. And then Stephen, he preached the same message. And they declared him blasphemous. And then the Apostle Paul also did the same thing. He was speaking about this. And they were coming out against Paul. And so speaking against the temple of God was considered blasphemous. And being a false prophet was also a crime worthy of death. In the law of Deuteronomy 18:20, the Mosaic law says this: "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." And so that's what they're going to charge him with, being a false prophet. And of all things, it's ironic, the false prophet's bringing charges against a real prophet. But you know what? That's the way evil men work. That's the way evil people work. Verse 12 says, "Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you've heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he has pronounced against you." So Jeremiah finally gets the opportunity to speak here. He's on trial, a death trial. He's on trial for his life. And he gets to speak up, and he simply tells them, "Listen, the Lord is the one that sent me here. These things I'm telling you, God told me to tell you." And he keeps on doing it. He says, "Amend your ways." He says, "Therefore now amend your ways and your doings. Obey the voice of the Lord." And if you'll do that, he says that the Lord will repent him of the evil that he has pronounced against you. That word repent right there doesn't mean the same as you and I need to repent. The repent right here means a change of mind. That means that God's going to change his mind from destroying them if they'll repent. That's what that means. God has nothing to repent of, okay? He's never sinned. He's a God that cannot sin. And so he's not repenting of sins. He's repenting or changing his mind of what he'll do if they will do this. And Jeremiah's giving them a chance. Listen, heed to the word of God, obey him and repent, and God will, he won't bring these plans, evil plans upon you. The evil there just means bad things that's going to happen. Don't mean that God has evil in his heart. It means the things that's going to happen are bad. And so verse 14 goes on to say, "As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if you put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears." Well, Jeremiah is very bold mood right here. He says, "Look, guys, I'm proclaiming what God said. And if you want to kill me, go ahead. But I want to tell you right now, you kill me for this message that God gave me, that's on you. That blood is on your hands. You're guilty." In other words, that's first degree murder. That's premeditated murder is what they're going to do to him, because God's the one that sent me here. Now, if these people are in, we're going to see some of them are, if these people are anything they need to be, they're going to realize they're in the wrong, and they're going to turn from their plans right here. And we're going to see that some do. And so he's telling them here, you're going to be guilty of innocent blood. And you know what? Every time I see something like that in the Bible, I think of when they brought Jesus out there on trial. And Pilate had him standing out there, and he was declaring these things. And he says, I find no sin in him and all this. And, you know, who do you want me to release? And they were saying Barabbas. And then they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. You know, and that's foolishness, friends. That's just foolishness. And so these people, Jeremiah's warned them, this is wrong. Verse 16, then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Well, suddenly a change of mind occurs. The princes have a little more level-headedness. They're not part of the religious crowd. They're not the priests and the prophets. They're overseers of the land, of the people, of the laws, of the civil things. And so they have heard the case here and what he said. And they said, listen, if he's speaking for God, he's not doing any wrong. He's not a false prophet. He's speaking for the Lord. And he's not done anything worthy to die. And so the princes or these town leaders and governors and things, they didn't hold the personal vendetta against Jeremiah like all these other men did, the priests and the prophets and such. They saw he'd done nothing worthy of death, and they spoke up in his defense. And so it's much like in the days of Jesus when he was accused. All of his trouble came from the religious folks. That's who ended up crucifying Jesus, was the priest and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all those. It wasn't the people, even though the people said, you know, crucify him. But the people in charge that brought the accusations against him was the religious people. And so, of course, they were false too, but they didn't know God. Anyway, verse 17 says, then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Morthite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all of Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. Well, now the old folks get up, those that's been around for a while. They know about the history of God's people. And they bring this little thing back to everybody's mind. Hey, no, wait a minute. You remember this same thing happened. It's been years ago, but the same thing happened back when King Hezekiah was the king of Judah. And this other prophet came, Micah came up, and he's saying the same things that he did. Did that king put him to death? Did the people rise up and call for him to die? Said no, they repented, and God changed his mind. God repented of his evil that he was going to do and pronounced against them. And so he's saying, listen, we need to keep this in mind, because if we put this guy to death, the last thing he said, we might procure a great evil against our own souls. And so we see that prophecy over in Micah, the book of Micah. Micah 3 and 12 says, therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. So that was the prophet Micah speaking in Judah of the day. That was before Jeremiah. And so these elders make the case that when Micah prophesied the same thing, the people did not try to kill him, but they repented of their sins, and God did not bring this upon them. And so this state may be very similar to what's going on. Now look at verse 20. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord. Now, this section right here, this is not the elder speaking. This is Jeremiah adding this in as a commentary of telling of another prophet during that same time he's at. So don't read it as if it's the elder speaking. Verse 20, and there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land, according to all words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king, with all of his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt, and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword, and cast his dead body in the graves of the common people. So Jeremiah is adding this little bit of commentary here so that the reader understands that the time that he's in is very dangerous, that it was common for the prophet to be put to death. And so the same king is there. Notice that Jehoiakim was the same king that did this to Urijah. It's the same king that's in charge right now while Jeremiah's there. And so this all happened during Jeremiah's time. And so he tells this prophet that was prophesying the same thing, spoke out against Jerusalem, and King Jehoiakim put him to death. And so we understand how dangerous it was for Jeremiah during that time. It could have went the other way. Verse 24. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. So fortunately, the Lord sent this man of reason, Ahikam. And notice who he's the son of, Shaphan. Everybody remember Shaphan? If you remember back in 2 Kings chapter 22, Shaphan was the scribe that was there when Josiah was king, and they found the book of the law buried in the rubble. And they, the priest there, Hilkiah, I believe his name was, the priest had the book, and Shaphan the scribe took it to King Josiah, and Josiah had the message read, and what happened? That was when Josiah put into effect all the things he did in Judah, tearing down the worship places to Baal and cleaning the place up. All that happened during Shaphan's time. Well, this is Shaphan's son. This family was very good to Jeremiah. They protected him several times, actually. Believe it or not, we're now halfway through our studies in Jeremiah. All right, well, let's gather around the altar tonight. Let's